Welcome to this special sermon on prayer. Open your Bible to Luke 11, verses 5 through 10, and let's begin.
O Lord, to you we offer our prayers, requests, and thanksgivings. Inspire us with the inclination to pray. Strengthen us to pray with an inner sense of well-being and faith, and not anxiety and fear. Call us together daily this week to pray with hope and confidence. Hear our prayers and glorify yourself by answering them. I pray that we would have a spirit of shameless persistence. Thank you for your promise to guide us in prayer and lovingly answer us when we call on you. In Christ's name, amen. Miguel Cervantes joined the army and went with the king of Spain to fight the Turks. The battle went well, but he was severely wounded in his left hand, wounded so badly that his hand never worked again. He was supposed to get a pension, but didn't get it. And you just can't go up to the king of Spain in the late 1500s and say, hey, dude, you owe me money. So when the king decided to fight again, the Turks again, he enlisted. And this time he was captured by the Turks and was imprisoned for 5 years. And his mother finally begged some priests into ransoming him and getting him home. Well, this time the government gave him a job as a tax collector, and the scholars don't know if he embezzled money or he just did a bad job, but either way he got thrown in jail because his accounts weren't right. And while he sat in jail, he probably wrote the greatest novel that's ever been written, Don Quixote. Okay, you whack my hand off. You leave me sitting in a Turkish prison. You throw me in jail because my accounts are wrong. I'm not going to write a novel that's very cheerful. I'm going to write a Stephen King novel. All is bad. Some of you know the story. It's about Don Quixote, who's a little touched, and he thinks he's a knight, and he goes riding around doing odd things. But the interesting thing about the story to me is, although bad stuff happens to poor Don, good stuff happens around him. It's a very, the people who study this, they've done an excellent job. There's a real tension between, does Don make the world a better place? And I think if you read the stories, it never turns out very well for him, but it usually has a good effect on the people around him. I told you this story because in human life, persistence matters. It's easy to give up. It would have been easy for Cervantes to give up. I mean, his hand was ruined. He was imprisoned once by the Turks and once by his own king. Things weren't going his way. He wasn't living the dream, but he found a way to persist, and in spite of all of that, accomplished something that has value hundreds of years later. Now, what I'm going to ask this morning is, that each one of us reconsider what persistence looks like in our own lives. What does it look like to persist? In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus told a persistent story. And I want to tell it so that you feel in our culture what he wanted people to feel in his culture. We are lucky we live here in northeastern Ohio, and there are grocery stores and restaurants that are open 24 hours a day. But I've ridden my motorcycle places where about 8 o'clock, they shut down gas stations, restaurants, nothing's open. Some of you know those places. There's no such thing as a 24-hour anything. I want you to imagine you live in a place where about 8, 9 o'clock, everything closes. And it's been a while since you got to the grocery store. That's normal for Sharon and I. But for some of you who are still raising kids, you got to go every other day. Just imagine you miss going to the grocery store this week. You go to bed at your normal time, midnight. Some friends of yours that didn't tell you they were coming, they just show up at your house. Somebody rings the doorbell. You go, who's... You go down, it's your friends, you invite them in. And they say, man, we've been traveling all day. Do you have anything to eat? And you look in the refrigerator and not much there. Who wants a ketchup and mustard sandwich on stale bread to boot? So you don't really have anything, and there's no restaurants that are open, and the grocery stores closed hours ago, and there isn't even a gas station where you can go buy some snacks. And so if you really want to give your friends anything, you're left with the pressure of going and knocking on your neighbor's door. Now it's midnight. And so you really want to provide something for your visiting friends. So you get the courage to go over to your neighbor's house. And as you're walking up the driveway, all the lights are out. They're clearly not up. And something in you says, am I really going to ring the doorbell at my neighbor's house at midnight? But you get up the courage to do it, and you ring the doorbell two or three times. Finally, somebody on the inside shouts out, what do you want? Who's there? And you go, I'm sorry, I'm your neighbor. You see, I had some friends come over, and they traveled all day, and I don't have anything to give them. Could I borrow some food from you? And your neighbor says, no! And don't bother me anymore! It's pretty plain. But you still feel pressure about your friends. So you stand there for a minute and you ring the doorbell a second time. You know your neighbor is grouchy and you ring the doorbell a second time. And the neighbor says, what do you want? I have some friends. They visited me. I wasn't expecting them. I have to get... I can't get up and give you anything. Go away. How many are going home? In Jesus' story, the guy rings the doorbell a third time. I see you're pulling out your pistol and shooting him. He rings the doorbell a third time. And the guy says, look, my kids are asleep and you're making a mess of this night. If you wake my kids up, I'm going to kill you. Now get out of here. I can't get up and give you anything. Is that enough to send you home for the night? In the story, the guy rings the doorbell again. And finally it dawns on his neighbor, this guy is so obnoxious that it doesn't matter what I say to him, he's not going home. So I'm going to have to put up with this for the next hour, or I have to get up and give him something to get rid of him. Jesus told that story. And in the story, the obnoxious person who keeps ringing the doorbell, Christ said, I want you to be like that person. I want you to be like the person who keeps ringing the doorbell until they get what they need. He said, but the doorbell I want you to be ringing is not your neighbor's. Christ said, the doorbell I want you to be ringing is mine. Christ said, I want you to ring my doorbell and ring my doorbell and ring my doorbell and ring my doorbell till I'm tired of hearing it and I have to answer you and give you your request. Christ said, there are awesome things that happen when people will persist in prayer and they won't let inconvenience and they won't let discomfort and they won't let any circumstances keep them from continuing to ring Christ's doorbell and saying again and again, I need something from you. I need something from you and I'm not going away until I get it. Church. You see, this story is full of inconvenience. It's full of inconvenience. The first person, his friends didn't tell him they were coming. He had no way they were going to be there. And when they got there, he felt the pressure of providing supper for them. How inconvenient is that? Just let me know you're coming. I'll have something ready. But if you show up and I don't know you're coming and I don't have anything ready, how inconvenient. Going over to the neighbor's house at midnight, how inconvenient. The whole story is about inconvenience because, you know, life itself can be inconvenient. It isn't like life comes to us in a convenient way. It's often just the opposite. Things happen at the least favorable time. I read this week that Dr. Seuss presented his first book to 27 publishers. I don't know why we put that picture up there, but that's not his first book. He presented his first book to 27 publishers, and 27 times they said, you stink. Your art's no good, and your stories are silly. We're not publishing your book. He heard that 27 times and still had the persistence to try one more time and get the book published. I'm glad he did. I learned to read because of Dr. Seuss. Those silly books we had, the little Tom and Jane books, they didn't interest me at all. Those kids looked like they came right out of 1926. They didn't interest me at all. But I saw a Dr. Seuss book, and it caught my imagination and made me want to read. I may not be reading today if Dr. Seuss hadn't had his book in the 28th time. Life isn't convenient and it isn't fair, and it requires persistence. It requires persistence because I have to have this sense that it's always something. See, this story is it's always something. I'm already in bed and somebody shows up that I wasn't expecting. It's always something. They want something to eat. I don't have anything to eat. It's always something. I have to go over to my neighbor's and my neighbor doesn't want me coming over. It's always something. My neighbor says no and get out of here. It's always something. Church? So Christ says to us, because it's always something in life, we need to develop a commitment to persist in prayer. Prayer isn't convenient. Who said it's supposed to be? Who said prayer is supposed to be easy, convenient, and no hassle? I'm talking to the Almighty. I'm entreating the source of every good thing for blessings. Who said that's supposed to be easy and convenient? Let's look at what the neighbor said. Number one, don't bother me. The first thing he said, verse 7, he will answer from within, do not bother me. That's a common response in life. Don't bug me. This isn't my problem. Take care of that yourself. Don't bother me. Could I say God never says to you, don't bother me? I can't ever think a time in my life where God said, you know, dude, I'm tired of you. Stop bothering me. Church? He never says, don't bother me. God answers every prayer in one of three ways. He says yes. He says no. Or he says not yet. Listen. Sometimes God says yes to our prayers in miraculous ways. This campus we are on, we prayed down from heaven. Some of you were there when we did it. When we bought this land, we just used to stand out here. It was just land. And we'd stand out here and have prayer, and we'd all stand around in groups, and we'd just pray and pray. Church? He said yes. Do you have faith enough for God to say no? We just did the self-control series. You know, sometimes we ask God for things that aren't good for us. Are we willing for him to say no? Is your faith strong enough that you trust God enough that something you thought you really, really wanted, he says, no, it won't be right for you. It won't be good for you. Church? I know some of you don't come and pray because God said no to you one time, and you've never gotten over it. Somehow or another, you believe you understood better than he did, and when he said no, you held a grudge. And it's ruined your prayer life because you're holding a grudge that the Almighty, your Heavenly Father, knew better than you did, and he said no. I'm not saying I like to hear it. There have been friends of mine in this church who were deathly ill, and I prayed the very best prayers I could pray. I prayed with all my heart that God would grant them more life, and he said no. He said, I have a plan bigger than what you understand, and I'm not going to answer that prayer. This person belongs with me now. Do you trust God enough to hear no? Or does it kill your persistence in prayer? Sometimes God says, not yet. These are the ones that drive me nuts. God doesn't say yes, and he doesn't say no. He says, not yet. Keep talking to me about it. Do you know there are some things, if God gives them to us too easily, we won't appreciate them? Hey, parents, you want to ruin your kids? Give them everything they want too easily, and they won't appreciate any of it. The way to ruin a kid is give them everything they want when they want it, and they'll end up not appreciating anything. And God's not that kind of parent. God is the kind of parent who says, there are some wonderful things I want you to have, but you have to pray for them to the point that when you get it, you really, really appreciate it. You value it. It means something to you. God answers every prayer. He never says, don't bother me. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says not yet. We pray because we don't just hear, don't bother me. We also hear, I can't get up and give you anything. Do you see, life often says to us, I can't give you what you want. I'm not going to give you what you want. It's not uncommon for life to say, I'm not going to cooperate with you. Often we have struggles at home, and we struggle with our family because we have issues and unforgiveness and all those other things, and we refuse to give each other what we need. We have trouble at work because the work environment often doesn't give us what we need. We have trouble being Browns fans because it's so hard to get what we need. But listen, even when life says, I'm not going to give you anything, God doesn't. Here's what I found in prayer. Often I get something better than what I ask. I get this sense that God is in my life and cares for me. And that's better than any object or anything he can give me. I'm going to be here every morning this week at 6:00 in the morning. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God for awesome stuff. But what I often find, I get something better than what I ask for. I get this inner sense of well-being, that God likes me. He hears my prayers. I'm his child. All is well. Church? I read this week that Vincent van Gogh sold one painting his whole lifetime. One. He painted hundreds of paintings and sold one. People said, dude, you can't paint. Your paintings are ugly. And now they sell for millions. They sell for millions. Hundreds of millions, I think. Life wouldn't give Vincent the approval and the acceptance that he needed. Wouldn't do it. They said, you can't paint. Give up. Make bread. Get another job. You're a loser. And today his paintings are worth millions and millions and millions. Life isn't always right. Do you get that? The world around you isn't always correct. Vincent was a good painter. They just didn't recognize it. Now, please listen to me. When life doesn't recognize and you don't really get out of life what you deserve, listen to this. You have a Heavenly Father who does recognize. And he's not going to change the world around you, but he can change the world in you. Do you get it? Often the best thing that happens in prayer is, I become a better man. I have insights I didn't have. I have strengths I didn't have. I have awarenesses I didn't have. The world around me doesn't change. I change. And sometimes that's better than what I ask for. Church? Now Jesus wants to make himself perfectly plain. In verse 8 he says, I tell you, and in verse 9 he says, I tell you. Both of these are statements that I want you to make sure you understand my story. I want you to understand you get the parable of this story. So two times he grabs our attention and says, I want to tell you something. I tell you that though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. God said, I'll give you some things just because you're my friend. But then he said, some things require more than friendship. They require persistence. They require persistence. I'm going to pray this week at the week of prayer for some things I've been praying for probably 40 years. At least 40 years. Some of the things I asked this week at the week of prayer, I've been asking for 40 years. Church? If you think that's ridiculous, you misunderstand this passage. This passage says there are some awesome things in life that you can only get if you persist, if you persist, if you persist. I read a story once that a dad was relatively poor, but he was doing the best he could to raise his daughters to be women of culture. And so he took one of his daughters to an organ recital, and it just captured her attention. She was enraptured by it all. And that year, when he said to his 12-year-old daughter, what do you want for your birthday? She said, an organ. And his dad said, honey, you don't understand. Organs are really expensive. And that Christmas, she said, I want an organ. And her 13th birthday, she said, I want an organ. And Christmas, birthday, Christmas, birthday, Christmas, birthday, Christmas. You know, finally, that dad figured out she really does want an organ. And she had been taking organ lessons. You know, that dad, after, I can't remember how many years the story said, after 15 years of his daughter saying, I want an organ, he figured out how to get her a nice organ. Her persistence paid off. The first time she asked, he thought to himself, that's out of the question. But after years and years of asking, something in him said, I got to make this happen. This girl really means it. It would make all the difference in the world to her. And he figured out a way to buy her a very nice organ. Do you get this, church? There are some things that God wants to give us, but they require persistence. The word even in the English Bible is impudence. I want to say that's a sophisticated way of saying obnoxious. I'm going to pray an obnoxious prayer. A prayer that I'm going to say to God, here I am, one more time, I'm saying, please. Church? And Christ said he likes that. Obnoxious prayers please him. They don't annoy him. He says another, I will tell you. Verse 9, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is persistence. How many are old enough to remember black and white TVs at school and watching some of the initial space shots? Anybody? Okay, you old people. So when I was a boy, it was a big deal. The teacher would roll in these giant TVs. They were on these carts. And they would roll this giant TV into our room. It was black and white. And they would plug it in and mess around with the antennas until you could get the picture right. And we would watch NASA launch rockets as part of the day. When we weren't going in the hallway and ducking our heads and covering our head for a nuclear drill. What a joke. Yeah. First of all, who's going to drop a nuclear weapon on Minnesota? And second of all, me ducking in the hallway is going to matter at all? I don't know why you get me off on this stuff. I'm sorry. NASA failed 20 of its first 28 attempts to launch a rocket into space. 20 out of 28 times they failed, and some of their failures were disastrous launch pad failures. Disasters. Now, wouldn't you think somebody would start saying, hey, what are our percentages? 20 failures of 28 tries. Wouldn't you think somebody would start saying, maybe we don't know what we're doing? Maybe this can't be done. Maybe we have the wrong people here. There were a million reasons to say this isn't working, but they persisted. They kept asking the right questions. They kept seeking different answers. They kept trying different things. And today, your cell phone works on technology that was born out of all that NASA work to get satellites in space. In 1969, a man from Ohio stepped off a lunar module onto the moon because somebody persisted. Because somebody kept asking the questions. Because somebody kept seeking new answers. Because somebody kept trying what hadn't been tried before. And now we take it all for granted. And Christ said, would you please drag that into your spiritual life? Just keep asking. Just keep seeking. Just keep knocking. Now, there's some grammar here that I want you to see. The first verbs are present active imperatives. They are commands to keep on doing this. Keep on. Jesus said, you are commanded to keep on asking. Just keep on asking. You are commanded to keep on seeking. Just keep on seeking. You are commanded to keep on knocking. Just keep on knocking. The second verbs are all passive. That means when you ask, you passively get something. You ask and it will be given to you. You seek and it will be found by you. You knock and it will be opened to you. All right. I want to say this in a non-difficult way. Life isn't convenient and it doesn't cooperate with us. So Christ said, you respond to that by continuing to ask. Keep asking the right things. You respond to that by continuing to seek. Keep seeking the right things. Keep trying. And you have a heavenly Father who says, if you will keep asking and seeking and knocking, he is committed to partner with you and help you get the things that make your life meaningful, rich, and valuable. Hallelujah. And that's Christianity. Thank you. Thank God somebody in this church says amen once in a while. When I was a boy, I read Jack London's book, Call of the Wild. I can still remember it. It was a little paperback book. I crammed it in my pocket and took it with me. It was ruined by the time I was done reading it. But I remember feeling like I was in Alaska too. The book sucked me in. I was there. It captivated me. I remember the story all these years later. When I read Call of the Wild, I just assumed that Jack London was a great author. His first story was rejected 600 times. He sent it to newspapers, magazines, periodicals. 600 times he got rejection letters that said, you stink. You can't write. We don't like your story. What was going on in his head that he would send it to the 601 publisher? I mean, you tell me I can't do it 200 times, you're probably going to convince me. 300 times? 400 times? 500 no's? 500 don't bother me? 600, and 601, the story gets published, people love it, and it opens the door for London to become part of the American pantheon of writers. Church. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He is a good parent. He's ready to provide everything you need when you're ready to receive it. We just have to believe that. Now, I want to ask a couple of questions. What might happen in your life if you prayed that way this week? I don't mean a one-off prayer, dear God, help me to get a better job. Amen. I mean, you made a persistent prayer. You committed yourself every day this week to pray for something. What if you didn't pray for it by yourself? What if you invited the people in your group to pray with you about that one thing? What if you came once every day, you sat in a group, you asked the people in the group to pray for, with you on this, the three or four people in the group, they prayed and you prayed. All of you kept ringing the doorbell of heaven and saying, you said, ask, and it would be given to me. I'm asking. You said, seek. I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do. You said, knock. I'm ready to knock on any door you want me to knock on. I pray that you would hear this and do something wonderful. What might happen in your life? Church? I can tell you many things that happened by the week of prayer. This whole campus is a week of prayer. It's an answer to the week of prayer. Well, I should say many weeks of prayer. There are babies in this church where the doctor said you'll never have a baby, and those babies are running around this church right now. We pray during the week of prayer. People have new careers. We pray during the week of prayer. Families that were torn apart reunited because God answered our prayer during the week of prayer. Kids made major decisions in a new direction because we prayed in the week of prayer. Church, I can tell you story after story after story that when we knocked, God said yes and did incredible things. Now the question is, are you willing to be a persistent person? Will you persist? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching. Thank you that you're willing to allow us to be obnoxious in our prayers. Thank you that you teach us to bug you and bug you. And I pray that we would have that spirit in us this morning. I pray that those who've never been inclined to pray this way would be willing to try it. I pray that those who have prayed this way but gave up on it, they would re-engage. And I pray that those who have prayed this way and know how meaningful and rich it is, I pray that they would be an encouragement to others. And I pray this week of prayer, we could pray down things that make a difference, not just in our lifetime, but in generations to come. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.